The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
It is Sunday, October 23rd, 2011, if you're listening live. And obviously not if you're not listening live. It's good to be back after 3 weeks of the unexpected. For those of you who were here 3 weeks ago when the show ended very abruptly, midstream, mid-thought. And then last week, for those of you who are listening and paying careful attention, there was another recording played because I was still having technical issues. I have been going through what I'm going to call a personal technological Mercury retrograde. I have no idea what's actually going on out there, if there's a real Mercury retrograde going on or not. It's not something I typically pay a lot of attention to, since, as with all the astrological, I believe that it is about potential. It's about the direction that the energy is heading, and then we have the opportunity to choose and to shape where that energy is going to go. But I have been in my own little vortex here concerning technology for quite some time, starting even before that show 3 weeks ago. I've had my computer decide that it wanted to collapse on me. I have, well, the most recent gateway activation that I did, I had all kinds of issues with the collapsed computer, the computer that crashed, trying to get the information out to people that it was actually even happening. That continued when I was away from my own computer. 2 weeks ago, when I was at the walk-in conference in Phoenix as a presenter, their computers would not let me do what I wanted to do. And then I went to the person I was staying with in Sedona, where I actually offered that gateway. And that person had a Mac, which some of the things that I needed to do were not compatible with. So, anyway, that's where I have been. It's good to be back. And before we go any further, I want to do that initial connecting and kind of clear the slate of all of that energy. And so let's do it. Let's breathe in and first of all connect with our own inner divinity, opening into our divine expression as fully as we can in this moment. And then taking that connection down fully into this dimension, connecting with our Mother Earth, our primary supporter here, allowing us to have physicality. And open up and allow yourself to share your presence with her and receive her energy, receive her love. receive her support up into you. And carrying that out even further, let's open up and connect with all of our guides and angels, our masters, teachers, mentors, the spiritual help that we have that's not in body at this time. Allow their presence to enfold you. And let's go out now and connect with this community, the Exposing the Masters Within community, all the others who are listening now live or who are listening now through the recording. Because either way, you're here joining me to co-create this. And as we join together, we support each other in our individual movement forward on our paths. So allow yourself to receive that support, that sense of connectivity. And let's expand that connection out even further and connect with all of those who are light workers on this planet, those who are consciously seeking to discover the divine within themselves and bring it forth, who are consciously seeking to bring higher consciousness and greater love across the planet. And again, just allow yourself to open into that community at large and feel the support of coming together as a group. We are not here to do this alone. All right. Well, thank you for that, for joining me and opening that up. So, a few things I would just like to touch in upon here to start with. I have even less advanced awareness about where I'm going today than I typically do. But I do have a few things that I would like to touch in upon. One, both in my own life and in the lives of multiple clients that I've been working with, again, or even over the last month, and colleagues that I've spoken with, other healers, etc., who do this kind of work, there's a few things going on out there that I think it can help to know that you're not the only one. So following forward with that idea that we don't have to do all of this alone, I just want to touch in on several of those that seem to be going on. They're definitely going on in my life and in the lives of a lot of the people I am in contact with, was speaking with at the conference 2 weeks ago, etc. And so the first one I've already alluded to here in my own personal Mercury retrograde with technology, there are lots of people who are having issues with especially the technologies around communication, whether it's computers crashing or phones not behaving in the right way or getting lost or whatever else might be going on. And I will probably, as I go on here, talk even more about that vortex that I am coming out of now, thankfully. But if you're having those kinds of issues, it's not just you. It's not just your personal thing. There are shifts going on energetically that are definitely affecting communications and technology. The way that we're wired together, so to speak, is going through an upgrade right now. And in a lot of cases, it is affecting things in a less than well, ideal way in terms of how we as humans having to deal with them might look at it, but certainly in the exact ways that they need to be gone through from the energetic perspective. So that's the first one on the list here. The second one, and again, this is my own personal experience as well as from many, many others that I have been in contact with in the last month, there is a great deal of, I'll call it oddity. It's not necessarily disruption of sleep, but it's oddity or almost disruption of consciousness. And let me put that in another context. A lot of people are having trouble getting to sleep. They're not able to get to sleep at the time that they typically would. They're staying up later for whatever reason. A lot of people are having trouble waking up in the morning. Sleep is going a lot longer. I have heard less about people who are having interrupted sleep during the night, although I have come across a few of those as well. And then the other piece of this, and this is happening more than I've ever come across it before, both for me and for the people that I'm working with, is I'll call them nap attacks. another friend of mine calls them 911s, where essentially there's no choice. There's no choice but to lie down and sleep. And sometimes it doesn't even happen in a way that you have advance warning. It's 1 minute you're conscious and the next minute you're waking up an hour or two after that when you didn't feel sleepy, you weren't ready to take a nap, it just came upon you and you were gone. And so again, I know from personal experience the guidance that I've received for myself and that I've shared with a number of the others when they have come in for sessions, the guidance that's come through in channeling, is that typically when these kinds of occurrences are happening, there is information, energies, upgrades, if you will, being downloaded into your system, being downloaded, or your energy field is being worked on, and it needs to be worked on during the waking hours for whatever reason, but you're going to be better served if you're not fully conscious while it's happening. So again, you're not the only one if you're going through this as well. Now, a similar piece, and this can be partially attributed to that last one I was talking about, where you go out and you're gone for a couple of hours, not necessarily sure where you went or what was happening. But the third one that, again, a lot of people that I've spoken to have been experiencing is irregularities in the experience of time, linear time at this point. And again, sometimes that can be attributed to, well, I was planning on doing this and I ended up being out for a couple of hours, out of my mind, so to speak, out of my body. And so I didn't get it done. And so at the end of the day, you go, well, I didn't do everything I intended to do this day because I had this time away that wasn't part of my initial plan or schedule. But it's more than that. Time. Now, one of my previous guests on the show, BJ King, years ago started keeping track through her guidance of the acceleration that was taking place and how that was affecting our experience of linear time. And what she received, and I don't know where it stands at this point exactly. I haven't talked to her about this concept or read any of her writings about this in a while, is that as everything is speeding up energetically, if we were to look at how we measure time, everything is speeding up, including our clocks. And so as far as our clocks tell us, we still have 24 hours in a day. But if we were to stand somehow outside of this universe and, you know, had a stopwatch that was working on the time frame outside of this universe, if there is such a thing, and we were to measure that 24 hours the way it used to be, and then compare it to how it is now, it would have sped up so it's going more than twice as fast. In other words, that we now have, I think the last time she got this kind of information or passed it on, it was, we now have somewhere between 8 and 9 hours if we were using that stopwatch that was objective out there. And because things have sped up, we don't notice it so much consciously because we look at the clock and it still says we have 24 hours in the day. And yet more and more people are feeling like there's not, they don't have nearly as much time as they used to get things done. And I think a lot of people tend to attribute that to all the increase in connectedness through the internet, through the cell phones, through these kinds of technologies that have us focusing on more and more, seemingly faster and faster. But I think there's also part of it that on some level we recognize that our cells have sped up and that that 24 hours is not what it used to be. And so in some ways, certainly under certain circumstances anyway, we can perceive that I'm not getting done what I used to get done in the same amount of measurable clock time. Now, that's going on in the background, at least my perception and my belief. But then, in this last month or so, there has been even more variation in that. Now, it may be that it has just sped up again. There's been another jump, and we've lost a couple more of the hours that we used to have, even though the clock says it's still 24 hours. But there are also irregularities where it's not just about things having sped up, and so we're not getting the thing done. It's more of a, I look at the clock, I see what time it is, I look down, I spend what literally for me is 5 minutes doing something, and I look at the clock again, and an hour has passed. And it's not because I've lost consciousness, it's not because I've gone out of body. I was present doing what I was doing, but my reality of that, I spent 5 minutes on this, versus what the clock says, is the kind of disruption or disturbance in the energy flow surrounding time that I'm talking about. And if this doesn't make sense to you because you haven't experienced it, congratulations, that's wonderful. if it does make sense, if you have been experiencing something like this, well, again, the reason I'm sharing this as I start the show here today is because sometimes it really can help to understand when an experience we're having that is different from our normal experience is, well, I was going to say is personal or is planetary, but it's never all one or the other, but it's both. And so when the percentage of what we're experiencing is higher in the planetary, is higher in things that are happening to the larger group rather than just to me, I know for me personally, it can be easier for me to ride with that than if I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong, and I put that in quotes, although sometimes it absolutely feels that way, like I'm doing something wrong, or trying to figure out how to fix it so it stops happening, etc. It's easier when I know that it's this larger picture thing that I am connected to and not just my personal aspect. Now, there's always going to be a personal piece to it. Or if you didn't have a personal piece, if you didn't have a personal connection to whatever's going on, then it literally would not affect you. So for these things I'm describing, whether it's the technology issue, whether it's the issue around sleep, whether it's the issue in relation to time, if that's not part of your own personal energy field, then regardless of what's going on at the planetary level, it's not going to affect you. Again, as I said at the beginning in talking about the idea of Mercury retrograde, these mass consciousness shifts, these energies that are at the planetary level, they are potentials. And it's kind of like, well, tuning into the radio. If you go to Oh, what radio, what website would be a good example here? I don't know. If you go to Fox News Network to try to listen to this show that I'm doing, you're not going to find it there because you're not tuning in. You're not on the right station. And so if these pieces are not part of your energy field, you don't have that station. And again, these are disruptions in the norm. But if you're looking for them, you're still not going to find them in your life if you don't even have the capability to go to that energy, to connect with it, because these are not things that you need to work with. So, everybody take a breath. That was very mental. At least it seems so to me. But it actually brings me back to where I was 3 weeks ago when, well, I'm not sure what happened. May well have been on this end. I think it probably was, but suddenly the connection was gone. I do the radio show through Skype, and it was simply gone. I couldn't get back in. On my little, I don't know what to call it here, on my little display of my Skype, it basically said my computer got too slow and it crashed. So I couldn't get back in this way. So I went to my landline to call in. And I had no dial tone. Now, that was purely random from my personal perspective. I've had no problem with this phone since I had the service that I'm currently on installed. And yet it was gone. The dial tone was gone. I could not call to get reconnected. And in the place that I live, and I don't know if it's because it's a 100-year-old building, I don't believe that's the answer. It's not because it's too rural. I mean, it's a town of 16,000 or so, I think, that I live in. But I live right in the center of town. But my cell phone gets zero bars here in the house itself. And so it took me, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes to finally be able to call in and even talk to Doug about what had happened. And he had already said, you know, we're having technical difficulties. We'll try and get back up. But so it's just one of those things that we can't plan for. We can't prepare for. We can only deal with it when it happens. Now, I and a number of people who were listening that day actually thought it was kind of funny that it happened when it did, since I had gotten to the point where I was just ready to switch topics from intentions to expectations. And then the show ended, thereby crashing the expectations that I had set up by starting out the show saying I'm going to talk about intentions and expectations. And by moving to the place where I said, okay, it's about time now. I think it's ready to start talking about expectations. And boom, all gone. So I'd like to pick up there. Now, quite frankly, that's 3 weeks ago. I've slept numerous times since then. So I honestly do not remember what I said about intention back then. I'm sure it was exactly what I needed to say, what we needed to hear, because we are co-creating the words coming out of my mouth for every one of these shows. But I know it was a great lead-in to getting to expectation. And what I've been talking about here today is also working with that, because I couldn't talk about disruptions of sleep or disruptions of time or disruptions of communication if I weren't talking about my patterns of expectation. I expect that when I come here and do the show, that the computer is going to work. I expect that when I come here and do the show, the internet connection is going to work. I expect that when I come here to do the show, that Skype is going to work. As I said, prior to that show, my computer had crashed. I had gotten enough of it back up, and I had gotten Skype working. Or actually, I take that back. That was on the way out. When the show got cut in half, that was on the way out. That was the computer spiraling down to the crash. But I did get my computer functioning a little bit before I went to Phoenix, and I've been continuing to work with it since then. And last week, I thought I had plenty of time. It doesn't take a lot of time to download the Skype program. And yet I spent an hour and a half trying to get it to function before the show, and I couldn't get it to function. It would not load. It would not open. I couldn't get it to work, no matter what I did. And again, my expectation was, oh, I can handle this, which for those of you who have known me for a while, that's a surprising thing based on where I was about a year ago technologically when downloading that program was a major, major accomplishment, something to write on the wall of accomplishment in my life. But I have shifted enough in my experience technologically over the last year that my expectation was I have an hour and a half before the show, not a problem to get this program downloaded, get it installed, and have it ready to go before the show. Well, and in fact, in essence, the hour before the show, I have several things I do, including the shamanic journey that I've talked about multiple times in preparation for the show. So I literally thought I could get it done in less than a half hour with no problem, because that's when I started it, an hour and a half before the show was scheduled to go on. And it didn't work. I couldn't get it up. And I probably at that point, I did have a dial tone because I was able to call in and say, Doug, do one of the tapes. But at that point, I wasn't in the mental space because my expectations had gotten knocked off. I was not in the mental space to do the show through the regular phone line. Technologically, it could have worked, should have worked, would have been no problem. But because my expectations had gotten upset, and I'd managed to get a fair amount of frustration built up over those 90 minutes, I wasn't in the place to choose to do a new show. Which, on a side note, expectations are very, very funny. I spoke to several people who listened to last week's show and thought that it was live, in spite of the fact that at the beginning of every show, I state, this is the date if you're listening to it live, and it's not if you're listening to the recording. But because, well, and there may be other reasons for this, but the easiest reason that they thought it was live is that they had the expectation that it was going to be live. So when I said whatever the date was of that particular show that got replayed last week, they heard the date that it was last week instead. And that is exceptionally important in this whole topic of expectation. Because it's, and this is scientifically demonstrable through multiple different pathways, psychologically, even physiologically, that it has been demonstrated that we perceive largely what we expect. We experience what we expect, which, not truly, but we're getting close to Halloween, so I'll say that's a scary thought. That we are building our realities to that degree that our expectation acts as a filter on what we actually experience coming in. And it may not be what objectively happened. The recording that was played last week had the correct date when I did the show live. And yet multiple people either missed that part of it consciously, they just didn't catch it because they didn't show up early enough in the show or or because they weren't listening, or because their filter said this is a live show. It's going to be a live show. And yet we do that across our lives. We have expectations. One way to talk about them is as beliefs. Our beliefs color all the experiences that we have. And in many ways, they create them. And thankfully, we have these disruption times when our when things don't go the way, and often our expectations are aligned toward our desires. Oftentimes they're not. Oftentimes our desire is something that we don't believe we're ever going to achieve. But when we have an expectation that is what we desire it to be, the technology working smoothly for me to come on and do the show at all its various levels, when that gets disrupted, I am given an opportunity to look at my expectations. Now, 2 years ago, if I would have had a radio show at that time, I wouldn't have had the same expectation that I could download the Skype program, even though it's very easy, that I could download it and get it set up and get it running and be ready in an hour and a half to do my next show. But where I am now, my expectations have changed. I've had enough experiences where I've dealt with technologies that were new to me and they've worked out very well for me and typically been much easier than I expected them to be. And that was why I avoided them previously, because my expectation was that it's going to be hard. And that's going to be frustrating. And I don't like to be frustrated, so I'll just avoid it. I'll sidestep it altogether. And I believe that general pattern, a lot of us run. A lot of us run a pattern where we like things the way we like them. And even those of us on a conscious path, who are seeking to move forward, who are seeking to expand, to step into our power more fully, into our mastery more fully, I believe it's very easy to get into these ruts of expectation. And I'm reminded, I grew up in St. Louis. Outside of St. Louis is one of the theme parks, the Six Flags theme parks, which there's multiples around the country now. And they had this ride there. And I don't remember the name of it, but essentially it was these old-time cars. And even little kids could drive them because they were essentially built around a rut. Now, it wasn't a literal rut. Actually, in the very center, they had this raised platform that ran underneath the cars. And so if you weren't steering correctly, the little bumpers underneath the car would keep you going with that. Kind of like maybe slot racing cars. And that's what our expectations do. They keep us going generally in the same direction. And sometimes it's bumpy when we're trying to steer in a different direction and our ruts are keeping us moving forward the way we've been going. And so it takes extra effort if we are going to change our direction, which is often why we get hit with the spiritual 2x4, as some would say. Because we need something that's going to knock us, that's going to get us to look at some of our expectations of what's going on. And whether that is trouble at work, trouble in relationship, trouble in partnership, health issues, financial issues, any other kinds of issues, they're coming not because we're doing something wrong, but because we are ready to look at and change our expectations, because we are ready to look at and change some of our behaviors. These circumstances, I don't believe, would even be coming up in our lives if we were not ready to make a change. Now, that doesn't mean that we're ready to the degree that the issue arises, snap your fingers, make one decision, and whoo, all is smooth sailing. Because those ruts are deep. And again, scientifically, the more times you do a behavior, the stronger the pathway is in the brain from neuron to neuron, which means the more likely it is that you will follow the same pathway again next time you're in a similar circumstance. And so that's why, at least at the physical level, one of the reasons why it can be so difficult to make real change. But another reason, I believe, is that we get caught up in, understandably so, we get caught up in the emotion of it, the trauma of it. And it takes us a while, if we ever get there. A lot of people do not. But it takes us a while often to get clear that, oh, here's an opportunity for change. Because one of the major mass consciousness on the planet, the mass consciousness underlying everything else, is essentially the mass consciousness of not knowing our worth. It's the mass consciousness of, ultimately, unworthiness, because we don't have that direct experience of our divinity all the time experientially. And so because of that, when something negative happens, the instinct in the mass consciousness is to judge ourselves as doing something wrong. We have somehow failed and brought this upon ourselves. And quite frankly, that is also true of a lot of people I've met on the spiritual path. Even though they have the concept that we're divine and that we're doing this down here perfectly, and some of them do, yet they get what, and I don't know who coined this phrase, but I like it, they get New Age guilt. And New Age guilt works like this. I am the creator of my reality. Therefore, if I'm experiencing something negative, it means I have screwed up in the past. And instead of doing what to me is the beneficial perspective and focusing on what that spiritual 2x4 might be offering us as the opportunity for change, they're focused on judging themselves as failing previously. Now, it's in some ways the same thing, except there's a whole nother level of judgment on it, because the concept is there of, I create my own reality. Therefore, if I'm suffering, I've created my own suffering. Therefore, I need to kick myself for creating my own suffering. And that's not exactly the thought process. They just do the kicking. They don't necessarily consciously choose it. At least let's hope not. But that energy is there of, if my life is not exactly how I desire it to be, I have been screwing up to this point. And that just perpetuates the I'm not good enough, the I'm unworthy, the I'm not doing it right, rather than offering the opportunity to look at that particular area of life, the expectations we have around that area, the desires that we have around that given area. And in looking at them, choose to make changes choose to refocus, choose to forgive ourselves, to let go of that energy of not good enough, to step into that vision of, okay, I am consciously seeking to create this new in my life. Now, here's another thing that for me is a shortcoming in many, actually, of the teachings about manifestation. And although I've never read it, this is what I understand to be true of the book and the movie of The Secret. One of the things that is most clear about the law of attraction, or any way of working to create change in your life, is that you don't already have that thing you're desiring for multiple reasons. Your energies, your beliefs, are not set for having that in your life. And so to change that, by all means, first you have to get clear that you actually desire it. And yes, you have to put energy in the direction of creating it, regardless of what tools or techniques you might use. That much I agree with. But what doesn't get said is that those things, those beliefs, those patterns that you have, that we have, that have been going down that rutted road typically is not actually going in the direction of that desire. And in order to get to that desire, we need to create a new road. And it's not just enough to begin to create that road, because again, it's about repetition. We're talking about the neurons in the brain. You're not only building a new highway, you're trying to dismantle the old one. And the old one is still going to try to carry you down it, even while you're trying to build the new one. And so, what happens? We put energy toward that new creation, and then we get hit with that spiritual 2x4. We get hit with those experiences that demonstrate to us, at least emotionally, if not mentally, demonstrate to us why we're not going to get there. Or this is where a lot of people will go into the idea that they're being tested. Well, I got this new concept, and I'm trying to live it, but I can't quite live up to it. Well, it's not exactly that you're being tested. You're being given the opportunity to look at the ruts in the road that you're currently walking so that you can make that conscious choice multiple times, so that you can consciously build that new road, the new path. But that gets glossed over in most of the teachings about manifestation. They don't touch in upon the stuff you have to clear out to get on that new path and have that new thing manifested. Or, again, some people are very good at manifesting and they can manifest very quickly. But because that road hasn't been built as deeply, as strongly as the previous road, and the other road hasn't been dismantled, the old pathway has not been torn up, they get that thing that they desire and then somehow lose it. They can't hold on to it. They're not, the pathway is not deep enough. The other pathway is still stronger. And so, yeah, they can put forth a lot of energy into creating that new thing, into manifesting it into their lives, and they get it. But they haven't deepened that road enough, so it becomes the status quo, the automatic path that they get to every time. And so, what do we do about this? Well, the first thing is that as soon as anything comes up that's disturbing, the best thing you can do is move the energy of it. Move the emotion, move the upset, move the pain, move the discomfort, pick your word, move the negative experience. And the first best way to do that is to not avoid it, to breathe into it. Set an intention. I'm choosing to experience this negativity, this pain, whatever it is, in order to release it. It is one of the laws of energy that what you resist persists. It is another law of energy, not quite as catchy, that what you allow, what you choose to experience, must move. It must change. So as soon as we stop resisting, I mean, these two laws are the flip side of the same coin. As soon as we stop resisting this uncomfortable thing that has come up because one or more of our expectations is getting messed with, because we're giving ourselves the opportunity to create change in our lives. As soon as we allow ourselves to be present with it, and this comes back to that, one of the greatest teachings there is, be present, be here now. As soon as we are present with it, it must move. Again, not instant snap of the fingers kind of moving where it's just gone necessarily. But it will start to move out. It will start to diminish. It will change. And part of what that's doing is taking some of that, some of the ruts from the road and filling them in a little bit, beginning the deconstruction of the old path. Because all the energy of the past experiences that we've suppressed that are about that particular set of expectations or beliefs, all the emotional energy that we did not allow ourselves to experience or acknowledge, has only deepened those ruts. And as we let that go, the ruts get less deep as we choose to move with it, as we choose to unwind it. And so, I'm going to pause there and we'll do some channeling here, transformation time. And just for those of you who would be trying to contact me, or if you have tried to contact me with the computer crash, I still don't have access to all my old emails, and I'm still a bit overwhelmed with the number of emails I have that got there while the computer was crashed. Still wading my way through them. So if I haven't responded, that's why. I still do not have access to my contact database, so if you do call me, leave your number. Because I can't just look it up. And the third thing I was going to say went away. So let's do the transformation time. Have a bit of channeling here as we head toward the bottom of the show. So as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever is going to join us. Hello, dear ones. This is Kali, come to be with you today. Creator, destroyer, destroyer, creator. It is important that you allow the concept that there cannot be new without the dying of the old. For those of you in the appropriate parts of the world, in the Northern Hemisphere right now, you can see this as you look out at the leaves that are changing. It is the natural cycle of things. And yet, most of you resist that. You resist the letting go. And it is understandable, because there can be pain in the letting go. And even more than the pain is the fear. And that fear is built upon not knowing just how powerful you are. The fear is built upon not knowing your value, your strength, your light. And so you do not trust that you can manifest that next better thing, that next better moment, that next better experience, because you do not believe that you deserve it. And so I would have you breathe in to that, to connect with that, to let that percolate down into your cells. And we will do one thing very briefly here. Very briefly. And yet it will carry through out past the end of the show. And it is this. We have a fire burning right now. And you can imagine it whatever way you like to imagine it. But it is awaiting what you would choose to shed another layer of, what you would choose to release, what you would choose to let go of. It is waiting. And so put that forth right now into the fire. Whatever it is, however many things you wish, you are not limited, remember. And we will be there, aiding you and cutting that out of you so that you can birth yourself anew. It feels quite good to destroy that which no longer serves. And so we take our leave. And yet our love remains, and that fire remains. Namaste, dear ones. Okay, well, I want to thank all of you again for joining me to co-create this together time today, for aiding me in bringing forth everything they had to say. As we go into the closing here, Don, if you would bring the chimes up there. Just a few notes here before I finish out completely. I'm always open to your feedback. I would love it. Next week, I will be doing the drawing, hopefully for 2 months, for September and October. And if you send me an email this week about this show or about one of the other shows that I've done, you will get yourself in the drawing for some free work, perhaps. I am always open to your suggestions, future topics, guests, etc., and your feedback. I will be back next week, same time, same place. I do hope that you will join me again out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show is going to go. So have a wonderful week out there, and why not expose yourself a little bit? Much love, many blessings, my friends.